Hello everyone, I'm Suruchi, and continuing with our discussion on managing project team and resources, I would like to now move into vendor contract management. So what are vendors? As we had discussed yesterday, the bringing together of any team involves planning, where you have to decide, do I have the available resources, are they willing to work with me, do they have the skill set to work with me. Now, what happens if you can't find the resources or don't have the resources in-house, manpower, technology, any other resources in-house, and you cannot find them in-house, and you are still servicing a project which will require those legs of the project to be serviced? This is where third party, when I'm talking about vendors, I'm talking about third party. This is where third parties or outside parties come into play, who play a very important role in today's project management world. It is very, very common for organizations who have taken on projects to outsource or use third-party service providers for things like software packages, hardware packages, various other technological supplies, or for that matter, in any aspect of the entire project, start to finish, a third party could be coming in. So instead of third party, now we will be referring to them as vendors. So vendors primarily are outsourced entities. A project manager's role is not restricted to only managing his in-house team, the team that he has put together, the functional team, the project team, the resources, but a project manager's role also becomes instrumental and influential in terms of appropriately and efficiently managing this external third party team. Because, for example, imagine that I am a software consultancy firm and I am providing a service, and my consultant is based at the client site of a software company, and there is a certain leg of the deliverable which requires a third party contractor to come into the picture and complete the leg, and I do not have this expertise. Now, I can't throw my hands up and say, listen client, you go and deal with the third party person yourself. No, the client has given a consolidated mandate for which he's paying me as a consultant. I am the project manager. I have taken on this project. Now, I have to services start to finish. He will say, no, you give me the final service. You give me the final product. You don't tell me how to go and deal with your offshoots and your intermediaries. So a project manager overseeing any project will have to take on under his banner the third party vendor management issues as well. Now, these will involve issues like making sure that in a timely manner, now let me stress, timely manner, your vendors come into play. Yesterday when we were talking about teams and team management, we repeatedly kept on talking about the time factor of bringing the right team on board. Because if you have a staffing plan, you need the resources at the right time, right at the start. If you plan and you launch and then you start bringing your resources together, it may be a month, 2 months, 3 months before you get the appropriate resources together and your time has started clocking. When will you start servicing? So likewise, let me stress that it is very important that vendors are lined up in a timely manner at the appropriate stages of the project life cycle. It is not simply a manner to have them lined up and not be ready to launch into the business. So a project manager's role becomes key, not just in internal resource management, but in this external resource management also. And typically, your project manager will be someone of significant seniority, because there are various issues involved in vendor contract management, which involve terms and conditions, monetary payout, guarantees, licenses, warranties, maintenance contracts. What is an acceptable final product? Is the acceptable final product meeting the regulatory requirements or not? So these are some of the things where someone may be very junior, may not have the know-how or the expertise or the authority to sign off on various aspects. So someone with a certain level of seniority, appropriate level of seniority, is typically going to have the authority to sign off on all these things. So either that is the project manager, or it is the project manager's role to engage someone of a certain level of seniority and ensure that all these various stages in vendor contract management are satisfied at the start and at the absolutely appropriate stage of the project life cycle. Otherwise, there's leakage of time. As we spoke about working hours versus actual hours, there will be loss of utilization, there is loss of revenue, there's costing happening, but there is no revenue happening on time. So moving further into vendor contract management, having established that this outsourcing, subcontracting, licensing, hiring freelancers, whatever it may be, we will get into the gamut of that, is as much an integral part of managing a team as it is to manage your internal resources, your manpower and other resources. So the project manager has an important role to play based on the situation. The approach to the contract may change. For example, outsourcing of business processes. So as I said, there would be different stages of a project life cycle. So now, for example, we are putting together this these modules for Wellingkar College. Now, I am an outside third party who is providing the service. Everyone else who is associated with me, who is working towards it, most of them are outside third parties who are working in tandem with Wellingkar. There is someone of a very high seniority at Wellingkar who's overseeing all of this. There is constant dialogue in terms of acceptability, terms and conditions, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, what are the timelines by when we have to revert, what are the appropriate deliverables. All of those things put together are making this process of having this discussion on managing resources and teams in project management, making this possible. There are so many aspects coming in. I am an outside third party vendor. Now, I could be a freelancer, I could be an outsourced third party vendor, I could be a vendor who has onward subcontracted to someone else. So even in contracts, you have a further category of subcontracting. You have freelancers who work as consultants, come and go. You have people who have licenses to work. So it will all come under the role of the project manager to see what kind of third party vendor he should engage for a specific project. There may be a specific project which may require a long term, full time contract where this is 3 months is the duration of my project. I will sign up with this software provider for 3 months and he is going to be on my side and working in tandem with me for 3 months and going to be on the same location as me. Whereas there could be a project where in a 3 month time frame, 90 day time frame, there is really these 2 weeks where a consultant needs to come in, a freelance consultant needs to come in, work on this leg of the process. And I really don't need a whole organizational vendor. I can do with an individual, independent freelance consultant who will come, work on this leg, and then go away after these 2 weeks and not be involved in the rest of the process or rest of the time. So that is a very, very important decision to be made, and a project manager needs to be on top of that, because if my work is getting done and the appropriate engagement that I should have is really with a freelance consultant, independent consultant for 2 weeks, and I don't appropriately match that, and I go and get an organizational large vendor who is going to stay with me for the entire duration of 90 days, then quite frankly, I'll be paying more, right? For 2 weeks versus 90 days, I'll be paying much more. So there's a huge cost involved. There may also be interference in areas where I don't actually require the interference. Most often, when you have a third party vendor, when you have a vendor contract, they stick to the extent of their contract and role and do not get involved in processes other and over and outside what their immediate process requirement is for which they have been engaged. So you need to, it is very important here when they are talking about the situation, that there is no standard formula of this vendor works for this vendor works for that. You may have various kinds of vendors as I have listed. You may have different time durations for which you may want them, different structures for which they may be appropriate, and there may also be different category of people who may be authorized vendors who may be authorized to work with you or not. For example, a company may have an internal mandate that we only work with organizational vendors, we do not work with freelance vendors, or for that matter, regulation may require that you only work with a certain kind of vendor and not work with another kind of vendor. So when you are picking your vendor, you are not only looking at your costing aspect, you're not only looking at the service aspect, you're also seeing where in the lifestyle they are fitting, what stage they should come in, what is the structure of a vendor that you would like to have come on board, and then appropriately engage them. So these are again things which will fall in place properly if they have been taken care of and thought about in the planning stage. As we repeatedly spoke about the talent management and the staffing plan, we kept on talking about an advanced staffing plan. You cannot have your project getting rolled out and then your staffing plan haphazardly falling in place then. You have a staffing plan which is made prior to the project rollout. So likewise, you have a vendor management plan which has to be strategized and brainstormed prior to the project rollout. Otherwise, you may be suddenly hapless, and when you actually need the service, you may then be splashing around and be out of options. So it's very important to understand the situation and to pick the appropriate vendor at the appropriate stage to service you. Subcontracting the specific component of a new system or hiring a freelance programmer. Now again, this distinction, I cannot stress the importance of this distinction in terms of your what kind of contractor you would require, because a full vendor, organizational vendor, versus subcontracting a small portion of it, versus hiring a freelancer, versus someone with a license, these things can have huge amount of cost and profitability impact. Not only cost and profitability impact, they could also significantly impact your outcome of a project in terms of time delays, in terms of what is the desired outcome that you had envisaged, and what is the desired outcome that you have been left with. So again, let me stress that a project manager and a senior management person's role in terms of assessing which of these I pick for servicing various aspects becomes very, very important. You may, if you require a freelance programmer who comes, does his 10-day piece, takes his money, goes away, you will not need him for the 6-month duration of the project. Also keep in mind that once a contractor or a vendor's role is done, a vendor will not stand on your head constantly after that and ask you what is the future of the project, what was the outcome of the project. It is not his business and it is not his role. He may want to know in a long-term basis in terms of services he provided towards a certain project, was that project a success or not. But he really doesn't have any business to or any authority to constantly be asking about what the fate of the project is or what stage the project is in. His role is restricted to the extent of his commitment and the service that he is providing. So once start to finish he provides his service, first of all he sticks to that service, doesn't get involved in 20 other unrelated processes. Secondly, his service gets done, he completes his work, gives it, submits it to the organization, to the project manager, and he quietly leaves. For example, we are having this engagement where we are working on this module, we complete these modules, we submit them to Wellinker, and now Wellinker, we do not stand on Wellinker's head and ask Wellinker how many students actually listened to the video, was the video uploaded or not, what was the feedback on the video. Now we may get general feedback as and when Wellinker thinks it's appropriate in terms of how the nature of the work turned out, but as consultants and outside parties and vendors that we are to Wellinker, it is not our business and it is not within the purview of our authority to get involved in that. So if I have a certain service and I am picking my vendor inappropriately for that, then the vendor's engagement may interfere with my regular processes because I don't really need the vendor for any of those things. So I have to be very careful in terms of picking the right vendor, because a vendor provides his service, leaves and goes away. So the same way that a project management team, after it reaches the adjournment stage and the team disbands and goes back to the regular work, likewise, typically, a vendor's role is even shorter span than that. The project management team would at least know or celebrate the eventual success of the project. Now, it is an organization or a project manager's discretion to involve the vendors in the eventual success or not. But it is not the vendor's business to be preoccupied with what happens beyond his service being provided to the project. So it is very important again that I do not mismatch my vendor and my service requirement, because that can lead to significant cost and significant delays on my project. Now, some of the examples are purchase of package software and ongoing support, using consultancy from major consultancy firms. So continuing with various examples of vendor contract management. One of the examples could be purchases of package software and ongoing support required. We repeatedly keep talking about software because, especially in software development teams and software development projects, vendor contract management assumes increasing significance. Not everyone has in-house expertise on all kinds of processes, all kinds of technologies, and it is very, very common to outsource. I mean, look at India itself as a country and the amount of outsourcing business that has actually come to India, which is because of our expertise, and perhaps it is also at times and a lot of times far more cost effective to have a vendor come in for the specific project lifestyle period and go away, rather than having full-time salaried employees with that know-how, where you will be paying a salary beyond the project life cycle also, and they may or may not be working on anything significant. So we had discussed that when you are paying a salary but there is no project that someone is assigned to, then there is loss of utilization, there is cost, but there is no profitability being generated. So a vendor's role becomes very important, because a vendor will serve, while you can't hire a consultant on your roles, full-time roles for a project, fire them when they're not on a project, rehire them, you can't do that to a full-time employee. With a vendor, you can have them come on board only for the project life cycle, not be associated at all before and after that. So you're not incurring any overhead, you're not incurring any salary cost, any of those things. And if you require them on another project in the future, you renegotiate terms and conditions and get involved with them again later on. But however, barring that future involvement, which will be taken care of in the future project management plan, this is the extent of the costing that you will incur with them. Now, when I'm giving you the example of using consultants from major consultancy firms, then again, keep in mind that these consultants come for that duration. Yes, there is a cost involved. There will be significant involvement. A lot of them are on-site, on-location consultants who are very, very involved, meaningfully involved, and they practically behave like a regular part of the team itself for that duration of the project. So, when any project manager is getting into the terms and conditions of a vendor contract management, over and above terms and conditions, it is very important to have lawyers involved to legally vet the terms and conditions, because you may not be a technical or a regulatory person in terms of what is permitted, what is not permitted, sometimes what is appropriately acceptable, whether regulations are being met or not. So while you can take a lot of business decisions and strategic decisions regarding the vendor, you should also have your in-house legal party or an outside legal consultant who could again be a vendor, vetting whether your terms and conditions are appropriate or not. Now, once we have spoken about some of the very technical things in terms of who is authorized to sign off, legally lawyers should vet what is going into the terms and conditions, so that, you know, to restrict, to make the contract as watertight as possible and to reduce the chances of dispute for the future. It would have things like what is acceptable, what is the costing, what is the schedule over which payments are made. Sometimes people take advance payments, sometimes people take certain percentage of payment over the course of a project life cycle. So different vendors work differently. Sometimes 100% of the payment is made on successful completion. So all these kind of things, the sooner you put them in a contract right at the start, the better, because later on they will become a reason for dispute. So when your consultant from a major consultancy firm is working with a client, if it's a software client or any other client, he would have a contract at the start which is talking about how many hours he's going to bill at what rate, what is the duration, all those estimates will be there. And later on when the bill is produced, because it is going to be produced on the actual hours and not on the total hours that you just sat there, then continuous reference to the initial contract will be made. So it's very important to have these things watertight in your initial contract. It should be documented by the relevant authority. It should be in writing. Verbal is really asking for problems later. Verbal is really, and I don't think any professional organization is working. Maybe the unorganized sector might still be working on some sort of verbal terms, but I don't think anyone in the professional realm would be working. It would, however, be advisable that instead of saying, okay, let's start working on the project and we'll get the paperwork done later and we'll get the terms and conditions. You know, we've discussed this, so we'll send emails around and we'll put it on paper and we'll get the paperwork done. Let's start. Let's not lose time. That is not advisable, because once anyone starts working, whether it's the project manager or the vendor, and you have started working and then there is a dispute on the terms and conditions, there is loss of work, there is wastage, etc. So it should all be put in place before the rollout, before the engagement starts, rather than later on. Now again, we are elaborating on another kind of example: freelance programmer for ongoing support and licenses for standard desktop software. All of the nature, you see how the nature of a vendor and a package software and a consultant from a major consultancy firm versus a freelancer or someone providing a license for a standard desktop software, how the nature changes in terms of length of engagement, in terms of how detailed the terms and conditions may be, what will be the parameters of the terms and conditions, how the costing will work. All these things vary hugely, and the entire dimension of your engagement changes with which kind of vendor you are engaging with. One of the things which is absolutely common among all of these vendors, which I will stress from a project management point of view, is that regardless, you must make sure that whatever the nature of your contract is, that is in place at the start of each phase. I'm repeatedly stressing at the start, because a lot of times project managers who don't have their know-how in place will start something, and then in the middle of a project life cycle, they will get round to looking for the appropriate vendor, or they will start engaging with the appropriate vendor without having the proper terms in place. So every time of any phase of a project is starting, you need to, the same way that you need to have your resources available and willing and cost efficient resources lined up at the start of each phase, likewise, you need to have your vendors lined up at the start of each phase. I cannot stress the importance of timely availability of vendors. Now, we are doing this module, we are discussing this module. There would have been a certain plan by Wellinker. There would be a certain timeline by which Wellinker would hope to upload these. And the discussion with me and as a third party engaged service provider, consultant, has been done well in advance. Now, if they come to me and they say, you know, we have to upload it tomorrow and can you work on this today? I may or may not be available. It may not be a matter of do I agree to the terms? Do I agree to the costing? Do I have enough time to come up to date with what the modules are? Has the discussion happened in place? No, none of those things. It could be purely a matter of availability. So if you are not managing these at the start well in advance, you may be stuck with assuming and taking for granted the availability of a vendor, which may not be there for you, and that could throw your plans completely off. Where do you last minute find someone? Does the person at the last minute meet your quality standards? Does the person at the last minute fit in with what your requirements are? So this is very important that we do it in a timely manner. Subcontract work and the delivery of specific components often relate to specific phases of the project. So again, when we are talking about specific phases, keep in mind certain vendors may be engaged throughout, like a lot of outsourcing is involved throughout the lifespan of a project life cycle. Whereas a lot of subcontracting work is only there for a shorter time duration. So if I have a project which is ongoing for 1 year and my regular outsourcing, my back office work has been outsourced for the entire duration of the year, within that I have some report generation which is only coming in once a quarter for the last 2 weeks in the quarter. That is subcontracting even beyond that outsourcing. So typically it would be for a very specific phase, and at the start of each phase, check the relevant component and contracts are in place to meet your needs. So if I have an outsourcing engagement which is for 1 year during the entire life cycle of my project through the various 4 or 5 stages and phases that I'm going through, then I will have a contract at the start of 1 year. I may look at it, refer to it every now and then, but basically, primarily, I'm not going to touch the master contract unless something significant changes for that entire duration of 1 year. Now, if I have someone coming in for the last 2 weeks of every quarter over the next 1 year, so which means 15th May to 30th June, which means 15th September to 30th September, 16th December to 31st December, and 15th March to 31st March. So if someone is coming in only for those patches, then I need to make sure that my contracts are in place prior to those specific patches. I may have a single master contract at the start of the 1 year, which is encompassing these entire fortnightly involvements. But chances are that I will have to re-vet it and look at it, because in the middle for 3 months, no engagement has happened. A lot of things may have changed. So as a project manager, it becomes my responsibility and my duty to refer to it at the start of each phase when the engagement of that subcontractor will happen.